Few cities can match the old world charm of Prague. It's home to the largest castle in the world, and its historic buildings escaped the bombs of the Second World War. But to escape the crowds of fellow tourists, there are plenty of charming, smaller cities you can explore in the Czech Republic, and some are just an easy day trip from the capital. From medieval mining towns and thermal spas to the sobering remains of a Nazi concentration camp, let's venture beyond Prague into the smaller cities of the Czech Republic. Joining us is Czech tour guide Jana Hrankova and Cameron Hewitt. Cameron writes and researches many of the Rick Steves guidebooks to the region.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Jana, when you think about the Czech Republic, first of all, we know Czechoslovakia was Czech Republic and Slovakia, and they broke apart, and today we have Slovakia and Czech Republic. Within Czech Republic, what regions or small nations are there?
We have three main regions in Czech Republic. So it's Bohemia, Moravia, and a little region of Silesia. The capital of Bohemia is Prague, and that's the biggest part of the country. Then we have Moravia, which is like the wine region over there. Most of the wine is produced in Moravia, and that's partly also connected with the culture. And Silesia over there, which is at the border with Poland.
So Silesia is kind of just a little bit that spilled over from Poland, and it's mostly Moravia and Bohemia. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
And what I find as a traveler, you really notice the difference when you cross from Bohemia to Moravia. Bohemia is kind of the core of the country. It's a lot more industrious. It's a lot more workaday. It's where Prague is. It's where people are a little bit more focused, career-oriented. Then you cross a little bit to the east, and you're in Moravia, and it's sort of more relaxed, a little bit slower paced, rolling hills. You go from beer country around Prague and Bohemia into the wine country of Moravia. People are more relaxed, more poetic.
And there's always kind of like a competition between Prague and Brno, which is the capital of Moravia.
Okay. Now, you're a Bohemian, right?
Well, I'm Czechoslovakian.
So you're what does that mean?
Because my mom is from Moravia. My father, he's from Slovakia, but we live in Bohemia.
Oh, so you're everything.
So I'm not Czech, I'm not Slovak, I'm Czechoslovakian, really.
Czechoslovakia survives right
yes,
here.
Yes, right here.
Now, but you live in the capital city, so you're sort of the big city girl.
Yes, I am.
Okay. Now, when your friends who are really Bohemian, that's sort of, as Cameron was saying, the more workaday part of the country, when they look at Moravians, how do they see them? If you want to be very honest.
I don't think there is such a big really fight between, you know, these two regions.
Right.
So it's not really that the people feel anything bad about Moravia or Bohemia.
Okay. So they're just proud of their different regions.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But Cameron, there's a little confusion with Americans when we think Bohemia, because it really isn't Bohemian, like in the sense of, I think the word Bohemia comes from there's a bar, a pub in, or like a tavern in Paris, the Boheme.
Right. When we think Bohemian in the sense of like a beatnik, we think of it's a very specific kind of a 1960s hippie kind of
avant-garde
thing. And no, that just coincidentally is associated with Bohemia, which is a cultural region of the Czech Republic.
Now we're traveling, we're leaving Prague and we're talking about great cities in the Czech Republic. If you were taking a 5-day trip through the Czech Republic, not going to Prague, where would you go, Jana?
Oh, I would recommend few cities around the country, which are really, really beautiful and full of history. I would definitely recommend, for example, Kutná Hora, which is very close to Prague, like 45 minutes drive from Prague. And it's a beautiful medieval town. It used to be very famous and important for the city because we used to have a silver mines over there. So that was the economical income of the kingdom originally.
The silver mines from Kutná Hora.
Yeah.
And we've got Randy on the line from Parsons, Kansas, who's got a question about Kutná Hora. Randy, thanks for your call.
Yes, my family is from Kutná Hora several generations back, and we're going to be in Prague, and we're just wondering what would be the best way to side trip over to Kutná Hora.
From Prague, what's the best way to get to Kutná Hora?
Well, you can either rent a car and nicely drive over there, or you can also take a bus to Kutná Hora and enjoy a whole day over there and seeing beautiful historical medieval houses over there. You can even visit the silver mines. Some of the tunnels are open to public. And another important part of the Kutná Hora neighborhood is the Bone Chapel over there.
This Bone Chapel is incredible. Talk about the Bone Chapel in Kutná Hora.
According to the legend, one monk brought a piece of holy land to the Bone Chapel. And that's why the cemetery became so famous. And a lot of people wanted to be buried over there. But also because of the later plaques, a lot of people were buried. We talk about 300,000 people being buried over there. And because the monks later on didn't want to throw the bones away, they started to collect the bones and they decorated the whole chapel with the human bones.
So I've seen this and it is incredible. There are the bones of thousands of people decorating the walls and the ceilings. In fact, there's one chandelier that is apparently is made with every bone from the human body.
From the human body, exactly.
So this is, if you like human bones, there's probably no more just incredibly visual place to go than the Bone Chapel at Kutnohora.
And see the chandelier. Or there is also, for example, the coat of arms of the owner of the land, the Schwarzenberg family.
Made out of ribs and...
Exactly,
and You know, there's also, it's interesting that theologically, the point is this is a church of both the living and the dead, and everybody will be together eventually.
Yeah, we will be your equal at the end.
We will be your equal. Is that the phrase there or something? That's the theme of the place.
Yeah, yeah.
Does that give you some ideas, Randy?
Yes, so we could just rent a car on our own, or should we try to find like a car with a driver that could drive us there? Or what would be the best?
I would just hop on the train or the bus. I went there by train. Okay. Jan is talking about going by bus. It's very easy.
Either way,
like two medium-sized towns that are an hour apart. Just hop on the train. There's going to be hourly trains there.
Yeah, definitely.
All right.
So I'll just look up the train information. Thank you for your help.
Yeah, have fun there. Kutnohora is really an amazing place. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking about the Czech Republic outside of Prague, and we're joined by two guides who are experts in the Czech Republic, Jana Hronková and Cameron Hewitt. Our phone number is 877-333-7425. And Steve in Elgin, Illinois, emails us and he writes, I've been to the Czech Republic twice now and just loved Pilsen. I went a day and stayed for three. We also went to Kutnohora, a fantastic small town with very interesting sights, silver mine, church with bones, and a festive town square. It was very inexpensive and the people were wonderful. Jana, what about Pilsen? I've not been to Pilsen and people seem to love Pilsen. You know, Steve went there one day and he stayed three.
Well, Pilsen is the most popular city because of the Pilsner Urquell, because
of the beer. Okay, so the famous Czech beer.
So you can nicely take a tour through the brewery, see the whole process, how they make the Czech beer over there.
So that would be the reason to go. Because
definitely,
when you go to the Czech Republic, you've got to have the beer. I think it's among the best beer in Europe.
Yeah.
Cameron, somebody was telling me that after freedom, you know, the end of communism, there's a lot of immigrants from different places in the former Warsaw Pact. But the Czechs didn't immigrate for work so much because they couldn't bear to leave the thought of leaving their beer.
That sounds right. The Czechs are passionate about their beer. And when they go out for an evening of drinking, they always say that you don't switch beers. You stick with the beer you started with.
Oh, you can go from pub to pub?
Go from pub to pub, but you don't switch beers.
Okay.
In one night, they say a man should stay true to one woman and one beer. That's another old Czech saying that I've heard.
Words to live by.
That's why we still keep the first position, you know, in the consumption of beer. So
you're crazy
about beer.
Yeah? Oh, you're the first, the biggest consumers of beer.
Yeah, exactly.
Ray's on the phone from Merrill, Wisconsin. Ray, thanks for your call.
We were in Prague last October, and we went to Lidice. Are you familiar with that?
I think so, but Lidice. How do you pronounce that, Jana?
Lidice.
Lidice.
Yeah. In the Second World War, there was a general by the name of Heydrich, a Nazi general, and he was cruel, and basically they shot him, and the resistance did, and Hitler ordered the town wiped off the map. And there is a memorial there to all the folks in the town. All the men 15 years and older were shot, and we went by the remains of the farmhouse where they were shot. Then in another area, there's life-size statues of 82 children that did not make it through the concentration camps. Mm. And that was really sad. And as we were walking away, a group of high school children were walking up, and I asked if any spoke English. And a couple of them said they did. And I said, well, take a good look at this. Think about it and tell your wives and your husbands and your schoolmates and parents what happened here. Maybe it won't happen again. Because when we were in Prague, we asked several people about this, and people younger than 40 or so didn't even know about Lidice and everything that happened there. And living in Wisconsin, Phillips, Wisconsin, is a sister city to Lidice. And we brought some information back, and we're going up to Phillips to present this to the people that are from their area. There's a few left that are actually from the World War II period.
Wow, good for you, Ray. Jana, what is your understanding of Lidice?
Well, Lidice, as Ray said, was totally, destroyed.
Do most Czech people know about this?
Well, most of them, they do. Just the problem with the young people that sometimes they forgot really
the history. In that.
Yeah, exactly. But the beginning of 2012, there was a very moving exposition on one square in Prague when they constructed like a copy of a concentration camp, Mauthausen. And because those boys and men that Ray was talking about, they were shot over there. And it was a special exposition for the children to experience that.
To help the young people in Prague who are inclined to be more interested in pop culture.
Exactly.
To learn from their very difficult recent history. Ray, did you go to Terezin?
No, we didn't make it to Terezin.
Now, Terezin is a very powerful site also. I'm so with you, Ray, on reminding young people to understand the difficult challenges of the last century, and it's so easy for it to get buried in all of the pop concerns and so on. Cameron, talk about the value of going to Terezin.
Just in general, there's a lot of these poignant World War II sites, but yeah, in Czech Republic, Terezin concentration camp's probably one of the most powerful, for sure. This was they actually called it sort of a model concentration camp just outside Prague. And it's where they interned Jewish people and others, victims of the Holocaust. But they kind of spiffed it up and made it look really pleasant. And this was where they brought in film crews and photographers to kind of show how wonderful these communities were that we were creating.
Show camp. Yeah.
It was kind of a show camp. And then as soon as the cameras left, these people endured some really awful treatments and of course, had many victims. It's really poignant to go and walk through there and think about the plight of these people.
Ray, thank you so much for your call.
Well, thank you. And thank you for all your work and helping us travel.
You bet. We'll talk to you soon, I hope. Bye now. Happy travels.
We're exploring some of the most compelling historical sites in smaller cities that are worth a few extra days in the Czech Republic right now on Travel with Rick Steves. Our guides are Jana Hrankova and Cameron Hewitt.
Cameron, very quickly, it's so hard to cover all of the Czech Republic here, but what are some other towns that we've missed just very quickly?
My favorite town in the Czech Republic outside Prague is a favorite of a lot of people, Český Krumlov. The name literally means the Czech bend in the river, and it's a very aptly named town. It's basically this quaint little old town that's lassoed almost 180 degrees by this river that winds all the way around the town itself. And then overlooking the town on the adjacent hillside is a beautiful castle with a very colorful tower.
With one of two surviving Baroque theaters in Europe there, and you can tour it. It's an incredible experience.
Right, these wonderful Baroque theaters where they still use the original equipment to make these old-fashioned sound effects like thunder and lightning and wind, and you can see how special effects would have worked back in the 17th century. And it's just an incredibly charming town, cobbled streets, great restaurants. You can take a canoe ride in the river. Very relaxing. You know, Prague's a great city, but it's a big city, pretty intense. The nice thing about Český Krumlov is it's just very relaxing.
You know, I went all around Hungary looking for places really exciting other than Budapest and came up, in my opinion, kind of short. But going around the Czech Republic, I found lots of places that really spoke to me. Český Krumlov, like you talked about. Olomouc, I know Brno is the capital of Moravia, right? But Olomouc, to me, was just an amazing undiscovered town. And there's a train, I think, connecting Prague and Olomouc.
And it's a great city. It's sort of the second city. It's not size-wise, but importance and culturally, it's one of the second cities of Czech Republic.
Olomouc. O-L-O-M-O-U-C.
Yep, Olomouc. There's a great fast train that zips there from Prague. It's a university town. It has, like a lot of Czech towns, it has just a lot of personality. It's got one of the largest and most impressive plague columns anywhere in Central Europe, this giant towering column built by locals who are appreciative for having been spared the wrath of the plague. There's a really funny little astronomical clock for people like me who are interested in the communist history. A lot of Czech towns and a lot of Central European towns in general have these astronomical clocks that are decorated with statues of saints. This clock in particular, though, was renovated by the communists. So instead of saints, you've got statues of workers. And on the big dial, instead of the different saints' days, they've highlighted the birthdays of Lenin and Stalin and other communist bigwigs. So it's kind of an interesting communist twist on a very old Czech tradition.
And, you know, even the train station in Olomouc has these wonderful murals from the, whistle while you work days of the Soviet era. And then you see these big sprawling apartment flats that are reminiscent of, suburban Moscow. And then, of course, on the square, you've got the astronomical clock that doesn't celebrate St. Jude or St. Nicholas, but St. Joseph Stalin and St. Lenin. When we think about the Czech Republic also, we've got a Habsburg heritage and Archduke Franz Ferdinand, the man made famous when he was assassinated in Sarajevo in 1914. He had a castle where he hung out. He was sort of like maniacal, is that a word, about killing animals. He killed 300,000 animals they have records of, and it seems like that many trophies are decorating the walls of his castle at Konopista?
Konopiste Castle.
Konopista. So there's so much to see in the Czech Republic. Jana, if all of the tourists know the famous places to go, if you had a visitor to Prague and you wanted to take him into the countryside to really get an understanding of modern Czech Republic, where would you take them for the sort of the cap of their vacation for the most meaningful experience?
Well, because I was born in Moravia, I would take them to Třebíč, which is my originally hometown, really. Uh-huh. And it's out of Prague, so it's not so packed with crowds of people. And it's a very nice small town, and they have an incredibly beautiful cathedral over there. And also a beautifully preserved Jewish ghetto that you can visit. So
Třebíč. And Cameron, if we were going to be going to the Czech Republic and we wanted to get a more well-rounded experience beyond Prague, what's one sort of often missed dimension of the Czech Republic that we should be sure to experience?
As you said, it seems like great little towns are a dime a dozen in the Czech Republic. And I just discovered one a few years ago called Štrumberk. It's this cute little town in Moravia, which is this sort of romantic eastern half of the country. Just a charming little square overlooked by a wooden castle tower up on a hill. A couple of cute little restaurants, a little brew pub in the corner of the square. Just a really nice, relaxing place to sit and get away from the crowds of Prague and enjoy the Czech countryside.
And not a lot of tour buses there, I would imagine.
None at all.
Štrumberk. All right. Thank you both. Cameron and Jana, thanks for your help so we can better appreciate and enjoy the Czech Republic.
Sometimes Travel with Rick Steves listeners get inspired to write a haiku poem about what they see and do in their travels. You can send us yours from a link on the radio page of our website at ricksteves.com/radio. We might even read it on the show one day. Here's a few we thought you might enjoy.
Jane Hellman of Floyd County, Virginia, sent us a pair of haiku from when she traveled to East Africa. Zambia bushland. Rainy season frogs so loud, I watch from my door. One more hostel bunk. Do I need earplugs tonight? Turn to my left. Ah. Eileen Patch of Endwell, New York, was inspired after seeing wildebeests and big cats in her travels. In Kenya, we saw the Big Five on safari, and weaver birds, too. And Catherine Hawks in Douglas, Georgia, paints a metaphor of Mozambique for us with this haiku. Africa, like a ballerina on her toes, between two oceans.
Travel with Rick Steves is produced at Rick Steves Europe in Edmonds, Washington, by Tim Tatton, Kasmara Hall, and Donna Bardsley. Gretchen Strout read our listener travel haiku. Send us your own original haiku about your travel impressions. Details are at ricksteves.com/radio.